three people on this side when there's four and there's more. So I'm going to do this. It feels more even this way. Excuse me. I read this to you earlier. I just want to read it again. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been made righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you would like to be closer to God? Raise your hand. Jane knows this is a trick question. The truth is, you can't get closer to God. You can experience more closeness. The scripture says his nearness is our good. That's in Psalm 73. But in terms of we can enjoy intimacy, we can participate in that more and therefore experience that more, but you can't get closer to God than being in Christ. And the scripture says that having been justified or made righteous through faith, we have we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know about experiencing the peace of God. That's ours. In a situation, we get to experience the peace of God. That's what it means to enter into his rest. We'll talk about that some the rest of our time together. We enter into his rest. Like, how does God feel on the inside? I mean, how stressed out does he get? Does he have an anxiety issue? Does he pace back and forth and worry? Does he get discouraged? No. And the scripture says we enter into his rest. His rest. That's the peace of God. Now, I thought of the situation years ago. I was in a circumstance that was kind of crazy, and I was in the middle of it, and I was supposed to be the one trying to fix it. I couldn't fix it. The more I tried to fix it, the worse it got. Had some big-time consequences if it didn't work out. I'm sitting in this meeting, big conference meeting, and somebody's speaking. I'm not listening because my last effort to fix it didn't work, and I'm, like, not walking in the Spirit. I'm not abiding. I'm like, well, I don't know what's going to happen, yada, yada. I was feeling anxious. Now, after all these years of teaching, it's so easy to get pulled back in to living like the old man. But Christ has stopped me, and he spoke to me almost audibly, said, I've got a peace about this. And I thought, he said, I've got faith for this. I said, what? He said, I've got faith for this. And I thought, you got faith for this? He said, yeah, I've got faith for this. So I said, so it doesn't matter if I don't have faith for it? He said, no, it doesn't matter if you don't have any faith for it, because I've got faith for it. So I can just rest in the fact that you have faith for this? He said, yes. And then he said, Chuck, that's what faith is, resting my faith. Adding your little mustard seed to my faith, and I'll offer that to God and the peace that comes with that. But this is peace with God, because he says later that we were once enemies. God wasn't our enemy, but we were his. And so one of the things that threatens us is a sin consciousness that we don't feel like we deserve that kind of intimacy that we would like, that we've blown it too much, that sometimes you don't feel like God really wants to talk to you, or because you've messed up, you just feel guilty. Maybe none of you have ever experienced that kind of thing, that here you are once again for the thousandth time. And so you're trying to behave better. And you get with the Lord and you promise him, you make these New Testament sacrifices. Oh, God, I'll pray more. I'll witness to people more. I'll read my Bible more. I'll start going to women's group more, men's group more. I'll do all these things, Lord. If you'll just like that I can be close to you. Y'all never do that, right? But I'm at peace with God because of Christ. Peace with God through Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2 that we just got through reading, we ended with verse 10, for we are his poem, created in Christ Jesus. Verse 11, now he's talking about Jews and Gentiles here. He says, therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles, in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you at that time, you Gentiles, separate from God, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having have no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus... Now, in Christ, you have been brought, you who were formerly far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ, or the finished Christ. So what? So we were once were separated from God, we were far off, but now we've been brought near through the finished work of Christ. Now, in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace. He's my peace with God. For you in Christ Jesus, who once were far off, have been brought near. I don't have to earn intimacy. He's my peace with God. Let that sink in. God's not at odds with you. God's not in a bad mood about you. Now, does the Holy Spirit grieve? Does God grieve when we don't walk out the dream and we miss out on the abundant life? Yes. As we're going to see the session after lunch. But there's no way in the Bible where God, now does the Lord show us sin? Yes. Why? The enemy's a thief who's come to kill, steal, and to destroy. And the Lord wants to expose any form of thievery that would rob us from the abundant life that's ours in Christ. He never shows us sin to rub our nose in it. Did the father do that to the prodigal son when he came back? He threw himself on him, kissed him on the neck over and over again, threw a party for him. The religious guy, the evangelical charismatic, got mad because he had done it all right. He never figured it out. It was because of the goodness and the grace of the Father. Now you're in Christ because you're in him. You who are far apart have now been brought near through the finished work of Christ, which brought you into Christ. Crucify the old person separated from Jesus, not close to him. Now you're one with him, and he's now your peace with. God can't be any less at peace with you than he is with Jesus. He can't have an attitude towards you he doesn't have towards Jesus. There's no separation. Jesus is your peace with God. I don't know about you, but that can take a huge load off your life going, you're wow. So I'm trusting in the fact Jesus is sharing his relationship to the Father with me, and that I'm participating in the fact that he's at peace with God, and he's never at odds with Jesus, so he's never at odds with me. When he convicts me, it says in John 16, he convicts me of righteousness. That's why he changes us. He'll show us sin, but he convinces us, the word convicts us of righteousness. For Jesus is our peace, who made both Jews and Gentiles into one. You're like one new creation. Broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, not between Jew and Gentile, between us and God, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity which the law of commandments contained in ordinances, all the broken laws that he had. He took all that in himself, that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace with God, and might reconcile them both into one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity between God and us. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to you who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. What's my access? Jesus. This is chapter 3, verse 8. To me, the very least of all the saints, the grace has been given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. Can you imagine? I mean, that's who we are. People who have just been plunged into the unsearchable riches of Christ. Every day we discover more. This mystery, which is for ages hidden in God, who created all things in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be known, the wisdom of Jesus being the solution to fall, might be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. When revival actually comes, we're going to be kicking the enemy's booty by the church making manifest to the rulers and authorities who we are in Christ. And the enemy hates that, and that's why he fights against it. This is what he said again. In order that the manifold wisdom of God, which is Jesus, our inclusion in the life he lives, the favor he lives under, that in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers, the authorities, the heavenly places. This is in accordance with God's eternal purpose, his dream, which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. In whom, let me read it to you the way it's written originally, in whom we have boldness and confident access through his faith. What? So Jesus is my peace with God, and therefore I can approach him at any time. Even when I blow it, I can approach him, because that's when I need to approach him more than any other time, right? I need to be reminded of forgiveness and cleansing and who I am in Christ. But I come in boldness and confidence through his faith. Jesus is very confident about any time he accesses the Father's presence in terms of conversation with me. He's really confident. And so I'm resting in his faith. I'm resting in what he believes about me. Because faith never starts with what you believe. Faith always starts with what he believes. And faith is just coming into agreement with what he believes. And he believes the Father's never disappointed to see him, never at odds with him, always welcome. Loves the dance. I'm in Christ. He's my peace. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ. You can't get much closer to God than that. All you got to do is just like turn to the right and recognize where you are and start celebrating and enjoying the intimacy. When you finally get that, you're going to pay much more attention. You're going to pray more. You're going to read the Bible more because you realize, whoa, I'm living in this house full of treasure and I've been just sitting here thinking about when my favorite show is going to come on TV. I need to get up and enjoy all this amazing stuff. I need to be a part of this perichoresis, this dance. This is Song of Solomon, one of the great verses, great books in all the Bible, one of the great verses in all in this book. The Shulamite is you. Solomon is Jesus. Those who are watching, the onlookers, Christians, the daughters of Jerusalem, they're watching, but they're not. They're satisfied with less than the dream. They're churchgoers, they're workers. They work in the kitchen, they do the other stuff, but they're not going after the dream of cultivating, experiencing, going after as far as they can go after their union with Christ. Come back, O Shulamite. Come back that we may gaze at you. Why should you gaze at the Shulamite, Jesus said, at the dance of two companies? In other words, Jesus says, why do you want to gaze at her? The dance is for you too. Stop gazing on all these heroes. This is for you too. He's not a respecter of persons. You're as in union with Christ as that person is. You're as intimate with Christ as that person is. Jesus is your peace with God as that person is. You have all the treasures, every anointing that Jesus has, you have. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, you who were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. The dream's yours. It's yours. It's been restored. You don't have to gaze at the Shulamite and go, oh my gosh, I wish I was like that person. It's about Jesus. He's not the one that you're in. It's the same person they're in. But this word, the dance of two companies, is one Hebrew word. I think it's only used twice in the Bible. And it literally means the dance of heaven and earth. That's the dance. That's the dream. That we would get to participate in the dream of the fellowship of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We can participate in that. We don't have to work for it, earn it. It's God's gift to us. It's his dream for us. It's been restored in Christ. You can't get any closer, but you can open your eyes and begin to enjoy. And when you do that, you do things like fasting and praying, not so that you'll get more, so you'll discover more. And you, every time you discover more, you go, I've still been living on pittance. I've been living like a pauper. There's more. There's more for me to experience. And so one of the things that God did here on Mother's Day, he birthed something. I think that's what we carried to Africa. And there's this large room called In Christ. It's full of the unsearchable riches. It's full of this dance that we can participate in the intimacy and the mutual shared love and joy, the fellowship of the triune God in Christ. I'm seated in heavenly places. All that, my inclusion in the life that he lives, being woven into Jesus' very existence. Jesus being woven into my very existence. It's mutual indwelling. I get to have, that's all mine. It's ours. But you know what God's inviting us to? It's a larger experience, this large room. And so he's sovereignly just offering this grace, saying, here it is, I'm opening your eyes to see more. You can't give more, you're in Christ, but you can get it more, and you can experience more, and that's what God's doing. And to the degree that the church and the individuals start getting it more, is the degree that you start manifesting what the church has called revival, which is just an accelerated version of Christ-likeness. Wouldn't you like to dance through life emotionally? You're invited into the dance. Jesus is your ticket. You're in him. The Father sees you in him. He welcomes you in him. He can no more reject you than he can reject him. You can't get any closer, but you can enjoy the close more. You with me? Jesus is peace. It's a free gift. You didn't earn it. You didn't work enough to do it. You didn't perform enough to get it. You can't unperform enough to lose it. It's in Christ, not you. It's based on his performance, not yours. If it's on you, based on your performance, you'll always wonder, did I do enough? Did I get it right enough? Is it perfect enough? No. I have bold access because of his faith. That's liberating. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.